This is Living the RV Dream, episode 139, for Friday, April 17th, 2020.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers! Hello, happy travelers around the world, fellow pelican heads, part-timers, full-timers, never mind. I'm actually thinking of temporarily changing the name of the podcast to Not Living the RV Dream, but, you know, like sometimes you temporarily change your profile picture because something is happening. Like a lot of people are doing like the stay at home thing right now. It's difficult to make a podcast about RVing when, let's be honest, very few people are RVing. I mean, if you're a full timer, you're probably staying hunkered down at one of the RV parks that are still open. If you're a part timer or a weekender, you're doing nothing at all. But contrary to previous episodes, today I actually have something to talk about, and I have some email, some voicemail. I hope it is going to be a good show for you. And starting next show, I think I'm going to start interviewing fellow RVers, fellow YouTubers, other people who are doing the same thing, you know, get different perspectives from other people. But I'm going to start by talking about what I've been doing, you know, and which is nothing in the real world, but I've been editing the videos for Grand Teton National Park and Yellowstone National Park, and I think those two videos are going to be the highlight. Together with like the California Sierra Nevada stuff, like Yosemite and Bishop, California, and all that. This might be the highlight of the whole summer 2019 series. And I hope you're going to enjoy those videos. This Sunday, Grand Teton is coming out. And next Sunday, it's going to be Yellowstone National Park, America's first national park. And that's going to be great. And I want to talk about a little bit about it. This happened, of course, last August. So it's been a while. I never thought it was going to take me so long to finish editing all these videos. But first of all, we came from Idaho, and we come into Jackson, Wyoming, and then the valley, which is called Jackson Hole, and the Tetons. You think is actually part of the Rocky Mountains. I just realized that recently. It's considered part of the Rockies, and they're the tallest Rockies in America, outside of Colorado. And what could be so special about these mountains out there? You know, the prominence of the mountains is really great too, because they're just sitting there in front of this valley. So it's like you really see them there, and it's really a very picturesque park. And many of the things that I did, and you're gonna see that in Sunday's video. And if you're a patron or a member or my mom, you already saw the video. But for the rest of you guys, this Sunday it's not gonna be the longest in the series. It's a little over half an hour, but there's a lot there. As soon as I arrived at the park and I unhitched and went around for a drive, you know, I went by this road. It's called Mormon Row. And that's where you get that iconic picture. There's a barn. The roof is kind of in the shape of the mountains. It's called the Moulton Barn. And it's that iconic picture with the barn and the mountains in the background. You know, you gotta do that. But as soon as I left there and I drove towards the main road, this herd of bison out of nowhere. And that was quite the magical moment, because bison are not that common, you know. I've seen them before a couple of times. I saw them at the north rim of the Grand Canyon, but here all of a sudden there's all this bison. It's like it was one of those moments. And driving around the park, going to the Jackson Lake Lodge, and one of you guys, a viewer, had recommended that I go there. And I realize now that all the main national parks, at least, they'll have like this iconic lodge, right? Like Grand Canyon has El Tovar, and Yellowstone has the Old Faithful. It's not in the whole Old Faithful Inn. I'm gonna talk about that later. But this Jackson Lake Lodge, it was very big. If you have the money, let's put it that way, to spend on a place like that and enjoy the national park, quote unquote, in style, hey, God bless you, man. That's a great way to enjoy those great views of the Tetons across the lake, sipping on a mojito in my case, or what have you. Let's just put it that way. And of course, I had to do a hike. I did a hike to Taggart and Bradley Lakes. And there's also Jenny Lake, by the way, but that's a different lake. Beautiful views from there too. Taggart and Bradley Lake. And if you're in decent shape, this is something you should do, especially Taggart. It's a very easy hike. It takes less than an hour, really. And there's not much changing elevation. It's a little, almost 2 miles, I guess, from the trailhead. And it's a beautiful lake. And if you arrive there early in the morning on a day where there is not much wind, you see the reflection of the mountains on the lake, and it's truly magical, really. And then going up to Bradley Lake is a little more of a hike because it's a little more gain in elevation. But it's a beautiful lake too, and all these lakes, the water is so clear, transparent. You can see the bottom. It was a very rewarding experience going to these lakes. I want to talk a little bit about the town of Jackson, and of course it's a very famous town. It's like a ski resort as well, and it's like the gateway to the Tetons, right? And lots of things to do in there, and they have a bunch of like touristy stuff, like you can go whitewater rafting, and they rent you boats and all kinds of stuff. And they have a bunch of restaurants. They have a cowboy bar that I didn't go to. I went to the brewery because, I was by myself, and so sometimes when I'm by myself, I don't feel like, it's kind of awkward going into certain places. But definitely it was a great reward exploring this area. I saw the bison. I didn't mention the campground. I stayed at the Grosvent campground, which is it's written Gros Ventre, but it's pronounced Grosvent. And they always have first come first served sites. And they have electrical sites, which is pretty cool. It's a little expensive, $55 for an electric, and I think it's $30 for primitive. But you're right there, in the middle of the park. It's very, very well located, and there's the Grosvent River right next to it, and you can see almost every morning and every evening a moose. And there's a lots of moose. I saw moose. I saw elk. I saw what are these little animals? What they're called? Beavers. I saw beavers on the river, making their beaver dam. And oh, by the way, talking about beaver dam, there's also this place called the Schwabacher Landing, which is also a place where you can, that's where you can drop your kayak or something if you want to do like whitewater rafting or what have you on the river. It's the Snake River, by the way, that goes through there. And in this Schwabacher Landing, it's a beaver dam, so the water is super, super flat, super quiet, super calm, and you can see the reflection of the mountains, like, really well, too. Now, if you drive, and someone is sending me messages here, like there's no tomorrow. Oh, and my friend David Oliva, a good friend from the old music days. He wants to set up his recording studio. We'll see. I'll get back to him as soon as I finish the podcast. In any case, if you drive a little over an hour north of the Tetons, where do you arrive? Yellowstone National Park. That's America's first national park, as I mentioned earlier. And that's the video that I'm editing right now. I went there right after Grand Teton. And at the beginning, let me tell you, I didn't think I was going to like Yellowstone as much as I did. It's one of those parks that doesn't really photograph well. It's one of those things. Like, you have to be there to truly appreciate it. And at the beginning, well, I stayed at the campground that is right near the southern entrance. It's called Lewis Lake, which is not optimum. It kind of reminded me of when I was in Yosemite, that I stayed at the and I mispronounced that one too, Ptolemy I want to say Tuolumne Falls, but it's not Tuolumne Falls. It's by the Tuolumne River. It's Tuolumne Meadows. And it's really far away from all the good stuff. This campground, Lewis Lake in Yellowstone, is not as bad as the one in Yosemite, but it's about an hour away from all the good stuff. It's about half an hour away from the west thumb of the Yellowstone Lake, and there's a bunch of geysers and actually that was really cool because they had one of the rangers, you know, so sometimes they have a ranger, you know, talking, and they have these scheduled talks like every hour, every 2 hours or so, and she told us about all the different geothermal features that you can find in Yellowstone. Some of them are the geysers, which are like the most prominent, most famous, most important, most photogenic or sexy, if you will. But then you have the hot springs, you have the mud putts, and the one that nobody talks about is the fumaroles. Fumaroles is just a hole on the ground with some almost invisible steam coming out, and you hear this whooshing sound like shh. It sounds like pink noise almost coming out of the ground. But then you have the hot springs, and there I learned that the hot springs, depending on the color of the water, it determines or is determined by the temperature of the water, and the color is determined by bacteria that live in the water. So if you see something brown, it is not as hot as something. I mean, some of it is like aqua blue, like almost like a tropical beach. It's really something. Some of those hot springs. It's something to see, and it doesn't, as I said, doesn't really photograph all that well. So it may not come out on video as vividly as it's there when you smell the sulfur. It kind of smells like rotten eggs sometimes, and that. But from there, what I did, you know, let's do like the important things first. I went to the Upper Geyser Basin, and that's where Old Faithful is. And Old Faithful is most important because it is every 45 minutes, 50 minutes or so, or every hour, it just, you know, it erupts, it goes off. But I got there so serendipitously. And, you know, I went to the visitor center, and the ranger just, you have to go. You have to go see a Grand Geyser. It's about to go off. And the Grand Geyser happens to be the tallest predictable geyser in the world that we know of. And it was about to go, you know, there's a window of like an hour and a half, and it goes off every 8 hours or so. So I said, yeah, let's just do Grand Geyser. And that was pretty spectacular, actually. It kind of reminded me of the Bellagio fountains, and I make a joke in the video about it, because, you know, I got a phone call. It goes up really high, and it kind of puts up a show, you know. It goes different heights, and then there's this jet of steam that goes on the side, and it's, I mean, if you get a chance to see Grand Geyser in action, I would. And then, of course, that whole area is full of geysers of all types and sizes, and the hot springs, and just walking around that upper geyser basin is an experience unto itself. And then, of course, there's Old Faithful, and there's going to be hundreds of people there. You know, it's very crowded. It's very Disney-esque in that sense. But it's Old Faithful. And at the beginning, you know, it kind of started going off and it died. And it started going off again and it died. And then it went like all the way up. And everybody went like, wow. And it was fun. But Grand Geyser was a lot more spectacular, let me tell you. After Grand Geyser, Old Faithful was a little bit of an understatement. But it was fun. Don't get me wrong. It's nice. It's nice to see. But it's definitely not the only geyser in the park. Another place to go in the park that is really, really spectacular is the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone. In the video, sometimes I refer to it as the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. No, it's the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone because this is the Yellowstone River. And what happens, the Yellowstone River comes from Yellowstone Lake, and then it goes through some rapids, and then there are two waterfalls, the upper falls and the lower falls, and then it drops into the canyon, And definitely you should do one of the, either the North Rim or the South Rim. It's a very spectacular area. It's by no means anything like the real Grand Canyon, but it's very interesting. And the rocks have these colors, these yellows and oranges and reds. And the river down there is raging. It's a raging rapid, no doubt about it. Another a hot spring that was really, really cool was the Grand Prismatic. It's the largest in the park, and also it's like the texture of the ground, you know, and the colors and how it just drops. And I read it somewhere: 500 gallons of water every minute into the river. It's not yet the Yellowstone River. It's called the Fire Hole River, and it goes from the Grand Prismatic Spring into the Excelsior Geyser Crater, which is also like it's really cool because it almost has like a beach that looks like something you would find in the Bahamas, you know, with this turquoise water, you know, like aqua. It's really interesting that Grand Prismatic. Of course, the northern part of the park is a lot more mountainous, especially in anything north of the Grand Canyon, and that's one of the things that I did. Actually, also south, halfway between the lake and the Grand Canyon, there's something called the Mud Volcano, which is not as spectacular, but there's like this. It's like a geyser, but it's mud, and it's this thick mud just bubbling up. It's kind of cool to see as well. And finally, all the way at the northern end of the park, there's Mammoth Hot Springs, and that's another place that is spectacular. I haven't actually finished editing that part of the video yet, so in my mind is a little bit of kind of a blur, but it's definitely a highlight of the park. And then, of course, we should go into the Montana side of the park. And that's the last thing that I did into Gardiner. And that's where they have the Roosevelt Arch. And it's an arch. And since this is the first national park, there's the arch. And it has, you know, inscribed on the top for the benefit and enjoyment of the people. And it's a cool thing to see as well. So I think definitely Grand Teton and Yellowstone should be on your list of must-see national parks. These two are in Wyoming. And now with that, you know, with this long introduction into the videos that I'm editing and I'm reminiscing on, and I'm like, yeah, this was really cool. Let's go into some of your mail. Actually, no, newsflash. I was just watching our daily presidential press conference, and apparently they're gonna start opening up places. So that's the news flash. Hopefully things will start getting back to quote unquote normal in the near future, and I'm gonna start making travel plans as long as it is allowed or acceptable or whatever they want to call it, phase three. I think is the time when we're going to be able to travel for pleasure. So if they open up Florida and Georgia, for example, I could travel to Georgia, and then regardless, I am going to avoid large population areas. And that's really what I want to do. I want to get out of Miami and just enjoy a little bit of the open road and the countryside. So I mean, my Alaska travel plans are probably not going to happen at this point, but you never know. I'm keeping my options open, and I'm gonna as soon as they open up, I'm gonna start working my way north, and we'll see what happens. With that, that's a glimmer of hope, right, in the horizon there. With that, let's go to your mail. Voicemail, actually.
Hey, Robert, this is Terry and Kathy. We are, well, February 28th, we started a full-time RV. Retirement trip. We were going cross-country, all the national parks, everything. That kind of got caught short because of the virus and what's going on. We're now in Coronado Island, a very nice park. We're leaving tomorrow, though. We'll be starting, hopefully, to get back to Florida. We're going to work our way slowly across the country, and hopefully this virus will die out before we get there. We enjoy your videos very much. Keep recording. We love them. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Terry and Kathy. Talk about bad timing, huh? Well, that aside, I hope you're staying somewhere safe, and hopefully you'll be able to travel again and finish that trip across country. I don't know exactly where you are now. I know this message is from about a week ago, and you probably had to stay put where you are, as things have developed over the past couple of weeks. But thank you for your message, and the one positive thing about being so far behind on my videos is that I have content for the next 2 months at least, even if I didn't travel at all. So I'm gonna keep providing that content for you guys, and by the way, congratulations on your full timing, and hopefully this will pass soon and you'll be able to see you do the cross-country road trip and see all those national parks.
Hello, this is Dwayne Kesty, a fan. Follow your videos up in Washington State. We have messaged back and forth a little bit before you did your Washington State trip, and I was wondering if you were going to do the Cascade eastern half of the state, which would be a good setup to go to Glacier and Yellowstone.
Well, Dwayne, thank you for your message. And definitely that part of the state is definitely part of this summer's plan. We'll see, since this summer plan is kind of like, it's at the mercy of the coronavirus at this point, and what states decide to open when it is safe to do it. But definitely at some point this year, I want to do Glacier, and I want to do also Crater Lake in Oregon. And those would be like the main two, the westernmost two national parks that I want to do this year. Maybe Mount Rainier even. But especially if Alaska falls through, which doesn't look like Alaska is going to happen, let's be honest about it. I mean, I keep my hopes up, and I'm trying to be like the most positive person in the world, but it's looking grim. I mean, it all depends on how soon everybody decides it is safe to open their states and the Canadian border and what have you. Maybe tomorrow, you know, everybody decides, oh, it's back to the new normal or whatever they're calling it, and then we'll be able to do it. But as it looks right now, if I don't go to Alaska, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a Glacier National Park, and maybe then I'll go west and I'll do Mount Rainier and Crater Lake, and visit like the eastern, you know, the parts of Washington State and Oregon that I haven't seen yet.
Hi, Robert. We love your show. We feel like we're traveling with you. All your details are right on, and the scenery is gorgeous, and your music just makes it all so perfect. Thank you. Never quit what you're doing.
Well, I didn't catch your name, but thank you so much for your message. And I definitely, as long as I have the health and the mind to do it, and the desire, I don't intend on quitting anytime soon. This is my calling. This is what I love to do: telling stories through video, and travel stories more than anything. So thank you so much for your message,
Robert. I'm curious to know what type of drone you fly. I would really be interested. I'm thinking of getting one, a Mavic Mini, but I wondered what you had. If you could let me know, I would appreciate it.
Well, this is by far I think the question that I get the most, what drone do I fly? And I have on the older DJI Mavic Pro, but I mean, it is a Chinese company, so take it with a grain of salt, but they probably make the best drones out there. And I think the DJI Mini would be a good entry-level drone for anybody. It does quite HD. It doesn't quite do 4K, but it does better than HD, so it's quite HD. And that's 1440p, I believe, if memory serves. And it should be a good entry-level drone. If you want to get something a little better, any of the Mavics would be good. And of course, DJI also makes the Inspire, which is like the professional level, you know, what they use to make movies. So, absolutely. DJI, it's a good choice.
Good morning, Robert. This is Alex from Culture Lifestyle Travel. So, since we are stuck at home, I've been watching a lot of your older videos, and I'm really, really enjoying them. Can't say enough that every time I watch your videos that seem to be older, I always seem to find something new. So that's awesome. So one of the videos that I was looking at is one of your Route 66 where you stop at a gas station. I want to know if you actually realize another YouTuber's signature inside the gas station. If you did notice that, let me know. Talk to you later.
Man, Alex, now you got me puzzled. I don't know. I didn't notice the other YouTuber's signature in there, but I'm sure you'll let me know. No. I can't really remember. You got me, man. You got me.
Hi.
Traveling
Robert. I just want to know, do you have any tips or what we should buy for an RV?
Oh, what to buy for an RV? There's so many things that you should get for an RV. There are some things, safety-wise, that you, of course, should get for the RV. And some things for fun. For safety, I would say a tire pressure monitoring system and one of those surge protectors made specifically for an RV, be it 30 amp or 50 amp. If you live in a mosquito-prone area, get something to repel the mosquitoes. And also a nice grill, you know, to cook outside would be nice. And LED string lights, that sort of thing. You know, it's anything that makes life outdoors more enjoyable. And by the way, guys, I apologize a little bit for the audio today. There's something going on with my computer here that it keeps... It keeps raising the volume when I don't want it to. There's got to be something I can do about it, but I can't think of it. And I have more mail, but I'm going to save some for next week, in which I'm going to try to see if I can do an interview. I'm going to start contacting fellow RVers, fellow YouTubers, fellow travelers, and see how everybody is doing during the shutdown and during the reopening of what did the president call it? Opening up America again. There you go, I said it. And until next week, thank you so much for listening. I am going to leave you with a song that I wrote for my 2014 trip to the Four Corners region on a rental RV. And this is called Crossing the Rockies. And it details, you know, the whole trip from the crossing the Rockies part all the way to the part where we enter Utah and we start seeing all those sandstone. Actually, Grand Junction, I think, is where the music changes and we start seeing all those sandstone rock formations. And then I even included like a Navajo flute towards the end as we enter Navajo Nation. And one of these days I'm going to do a video in which I go through all my music and kind of explain what inspired it, in a sense. And I did one years ago, but I have so much newer music that I think I need an updated version of that video. Of course, I'm going to leave links in the show notes, travelingrobert.com/podcast. /0139 about of the many ways that you can show your support and help me continue producing the podcast, which is as for now commercial free, and I'll put links to my Amazon influencer page, in which you can buy stuff. Anything you buy on Amazon through that page, I get a little bit of a commission, and that always helps. I am, of course, an affiliate with MicroAir, and they do sell the soft start for the air conditioner. So if you want to run your air conditioner with a smaller generator, or even with an inverter, if you have enough battery power, that's MicroAir. Just use promo code MyRV, and they know I'll send you, and they know I sent you, and then a couple of weeks later, if you buy it, they send me a little check with my commission. Also, TechnoRV. I'm an affiliate with them. Just go to travelingrobert.com/technoRV and it takes you to my special link with them, so they know I sent you. And of course, there's always travelingrobert.com/support if you want to support through Patreon or a membership or a PayPal, any way you want. It is not required or expected, but always appreciated. Until next week, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, because very soon we're gonna be once again living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because we're free in our RV. We'll be right back.